mine and yours. And you don't want no pressure, what but a backup and withdrawal. Cause trust me when I tell you, you don't want that you can crawl. And you don't want to see inside of my... Chapter 57. Fangs gleamed in lantern light, dark as old ivory, each one longer than Zuko's head. Massive claws rested on stone, poised to leap and rend and tear. The tail stretched long and long, ready to beat waves to a bloody froth. Throat dry, Zuko stepped out of the skeleton's line of sight. What the hell? Rakko Wani. Fearless, Long Shui stepped up to touch the ankle bone of something that would have been able to swallow him in one gulp. That's what you called them 1,000 years ago. The otter crocodiles. The walking whales. His face clouded. The water tribes have a name for them, too. Kadzait. The sea wolves. Zuko had heard that name before. He knew it. Not me. Kuzon. He took another step back and sideways, careful not to jar up against another glass case of... Well, he wasn't really worried about that right now. The ancient white lotus cache Long Shui had led them to was stuffed with weirdness. Scrolls, odd rocks, who knew what. But none of it was impressive as what coiled against the vault's rear wall. 50 feet, if it's an inch. Give it muscle to match and... Agni! Wani would have been metal splinters. I've sailed out there for 3 years. No one I've ever met has said anything about something like this. What, the big bad fire prince has never heard about sea serpents? Saluen quipped. Zuko resisted the urge to roll his eyes. The Kyoshi warrior might act utterly nonchalant, but she'd been careful to always keep something between her and those teeth. I can't blame her. I wish I could go curl up and hide. And he was so glad Shirong was waiting up and outside, ready to bend them out if something went wrong. He did not want to be trapped in here if the ceiling came down. An ancient vault? One that'd been old when Hyorin had been here? Who knew how stable it was? And if there was a skeleton, that creature had been alive. If it had been alive, it had a spirit. And spirits might linger. We've already seen the dead walk. The sea serpents were evil. Cast out. Amaya said softly, almost reaching to touch the bones. She hesitated and dropped her hand back to her side. But we wronged those who were not evil, and Avatar Kesik ordered the Kadzait to leave us, never to be tainted by humans again. By her side, Iroh took her hand and let her lean into him. That's not exactly what happened. Long Shui stepped away from the skeleton, face still haunted. I read what the White Lotus found out the last time I was here. You mean when Hyorin was here? Saluen said firmly. Huh, yeah. Something about the way Long Shui said that prickled hairs on Zuko's neck. Almost without thinking, he took a shallow, open-mouthed breath, calculated to bring in any scent of violence. Nothing, just dust and old bones, still with a faint tang of the sea. Sea serpents, Kadzait, they're all the same people, Long Shui went on. Like dragons. The green gaze bore into Zuko's. A lot like dragons. But the stories say sea serpents hunt ships down and destroy them. Of course. Dark dragons, Zuko realized. The sea serpents are like dark dragons. Yeah, sometimes dragons are born with too much fire and no water, and sometimes Kadzait are born without fire, Long Shui said soberly. I don't know why it happens to our spirit beasts, and not earth and air. Maybe because bison have to land and badger moles have to come up for air. But it happens. The Kadzate drive serpents off when they figure it out, but before that, they can do a lot of damage. And after that, if they survive out there in the oceans, some of them did, they got to be huge, like this one. Without fire, there is no honor, no trust. Amaya watched lantern shadows flicker in empty eye sockets. A creature that can only care about its family and no others, which means the rest of the tribe can never matter. And that means... She shuddered. Like every gruesome story the Fire Nation tells its kids about Water Tribe raiders, Lang Shui agreed. Gets worse than that. Dark dragons? Fire spirits don't usually get to stick around long enough to go bad. Sea serpents? A Haimajiao can move right in. He jerked his head towards the skeleton. Why do you think it's up here, not buried in the ocean? Oh, wonderful, Zuko thought sourly. No wonder his first impulse was to burn White Bone to ash before it could jump him. It just might.
Would it not be safer to invoke cleansing fire by cremation, then?
Iroh eyed the skeleton, as if calculating the necessary coal down to the last lump, and then commit the remains to the sea? Probably, Long Shui allowed. But the records say the Yaoren back then wanted to be sure those who came later would know what to look for, and they didn't want to keep an honorable soul from a decent burial. As long as there's no running water up here, it's safe. As long as, Zuko thought darkly. Great, better check with Shirong to make sure this place is watertight.
Couldn't they just use a scroll painting?
Heh. Long Shui shook his head. You can't get this creature feels wrong off a scroll painting. From the bones, you can. He shrugged. This place was part of training Yaoren to help the Avatar. It's not supposed to be safe. Zuko made an effort not to snarl.
I'll help Aang when he deserves it, not before.
If he'd put together Long Shui's stories right, all the lost Yaoren had died trying to help an Avatar, leaving nobody behind to make sure anyone else the spirits tagged got trained. Which means all the same mistakes get made twice, which is why I'm in this mess, and the whole world is. I am not letting that happen again. Lang Shui eyed the bones, a bitter curl to his lips. It was a sea serpent that went after Avatar Kessick's animal guide, although centuries ago. Maybe it was a male trying to sneak in and breed. Maybe it just wanted to kill things. I don't know. But it killed the creature that kept Kessick grounded and human, and she just lost it. Called up the Avatar State, destroyed everything around the air isles. Right, the maps are different. Part of them are in the Fire Nation now. Fire and storms and earthquakes, right through the breeding pods. Amaya blanched.
But she was the Avatar. She couldn't have...
Lang Shui winced. The Avatar spirit doesn't care about people. The human might, if she cares about anything. Read the records. Kessick was a pile of spite wrapped up in silken mirrors. And when an Avatar is angry, when something's threatening them, that poor bastard is threatening the spirit of the whole world. They've got to die. He shrugged, weary. The animal guide usually drags them back after a few minutes. Without hers? Zuko tried not to shiver. He'd seen enough of Aang losing it for imagination to fill in the horrifying blanks.
Long Feng was an idiot.
Too bad the Dai Li leader wasn't the only one. I grabbed Aang without Appa, and he came that close to drowning us all. If Sokka hadn't shown up on Bison back, damn, I owe him one. I hate owing people. Not that he had any intention of ever telling Sokka about that debt. He'd helped the Water Tribe put Aang back together, and he was helping the Mechanist stay out of the Fire Lord's grip. That ought to be enough for anybody. Iroh cleared his throat.
I was under the impression that Avatar Kessick died here. She did, Long Shui said grimly. The White Lotus got her in place, and Asagi Tatsu blew. That's one of the last times this place got buried. And how, precisely, did our order lure a mad avatar from the very shores of the Fire Nation across the ocean? Iroh's gray brow arched, waiting for any possible explanation of a miracle. Dragons, Zuko shrugged, trying to keep his tone even. That lost look in Long Shui's eyes. I don't know how old Hyorin was, but he had to be older than Long Shui is. Kuzon's memories scare me, and he only died 18 years ago. Hyorin was 11 centuries ago. How do you handle somebody who was dead and dust before your grandfather's grandfather was born? It had to be dragons, Zuko went on, trying to imagine what had to have been a storm-racked, desperate flight. Nothing else could move fast enough. Grandfather said Asagi Tatsu and Shiratora's clans used to be allies. Of course they'd help. Half right, Long Shui leaned toward the bones again, shook himself, and moved away. The records say it was a relay. The dragons had the killer instinct to keep Kesik going after them instead of people. Anybody with bison went in to catch the ones too exhausted to keep it up. A shiver. Between the wind and the lightning, most of those who got tired didn't have a chance to get clear. Then why take the risk? Iroh gave him a considering look. The Avatar state passes. We have seen that when Aang is enraged, no matter where Appa may be, had they waited, she would have calmed again. For a moment, Long Shui gaped at him. Aang can come out of it without Appa? Yes. So his young friends have recounted. He can come out of it without Appa? Long Shui made a strangled sound. That is one tough kid. Zuko tried to connect Aang and tough kid. It made his head hurt. But even if Kesik had been that tough, and from the records she wasn't, she killed the moon's children, Long Shui bit out. She wasn't going to come out of it, General. She was a lousy excuse for a human being long before she lost it, and damn it, you don't know. He waved a fist towards one of the stuffed scroll racks. Kesik thought she ought to rule the world, and the Northern Tribe was set to back her. That's why she was there. She knew the dragons wouldn't want to fight while the pods were calving. The boats were going to ride with the Kadzate, right up the rivers. He stopped at the horror on Amaya's face. I'm sorry. The scrolls say some Yauren from the Earth Kingdom wanted to calm Kesik down, to see if she could be healed. But after she tore apart the pods and the islands, everyone else wanted her dead. And there was only one way to be sure. Why? The healer managed. What makes this place have such horrid power? Long Shui blew out a breath. You're a healer. Why can't you strangle yourself with bare hands? If you were foolish enough to try, you'd pass out. Amaya narrowed her eyes at his nod. That's not an answer, young man. I believe it, maybe, Iroh mused, touching her shoulder. The core of the world is fire, and sometimes it twists and rages, shaking the very earth. Volcanoes happen where the fire has raged enough to eat away earth's armor, spilling fiery rock into water and air. Thus the flames are cooled and the earth's temper soothed. He spread his hands. If the world itself has decided earth and fire must rage, then if the Avatar, who carries the spirit of the world, bids it stop, well. Strangling yourself, Zuko muttered. It doesn't work. And now Amaya's gaze was on him, a thin-lipped scowl of, we are going to talk about how you know that, young man. We found that out the hard way when Yang Chen fought the White Wind. Long Shui hugged himself, shuddering at the memory. Asagi Tatsu wouldn't listen to someone who wasn't her blood, and when we tried to tell her we were helping the Avatar, she got even madder, and he looked away. "This time, she said we could try," Zuko said firmly, swept a glance over everyone there, and caught Saluin's frown. "You don't think so?" "Huh? Oh." The warrior smiled. "No, I believe her. Kinda hard not to. I was just wondering... Well, it's kind of silly." Lung Shui seemed to perk up a little, if only so he could frown at her. "What?" Saluin shrugged, her armor rustling. "The water tribes are at the poles, right? Except for oddballs like our people on Kyoshi Island. So why were water spirit animals coming to the Fire Nation to calve?" "A lot of whales do that," Zuko told her. He nodded towards the skeleton. "Those aren't whales. I've never seen anything like that. But they must be close. I've been on some whalers. Only outside Fire Nation waters, ironically. But he'd read how it worked at home. The sages think it's because the calves don't have enough blubber. If they were born near the poles, they'd freeze." "Ha!" Lung Shui looked almost gleeful, smirked at Amaya just a little. "You want to tell them?"
"I think I do."
Blue eyes lit with humor as she poked Iroh in the shoulder.
"Your sages don't know everything."
"Do they not?" Iroh looked fascinated, even as he did not look at his nephew, sputtering in indignation. "I admit, despite the past 3 years, I know less of the sea than most. There is always another mystery. Why do whales swim to our islands, then?"
"Why do ostrich horses move out of the valleys onto the plains before winter has fully passed?"
Amaya said pointedly.
"They are hunted."
Zuko took another look at massive jaw-tearing jaws and tried not to blanch.
"They were following their prey." "Fire and water have more in common than I ever would have guessed," Amaya mused. "We both have hunters as our kin. Dragons as your blood and the Kudzate as our spirits."
She gave Iroh a wry look.
"Though when we have legends of shapeshifters, it's the human who goes to the sea, not the other way around."
Zuko blinked and traded a glance with Saluin that bordered on, "Ew," with a healthy serving of, "I don't even want to think about how that works." "Oh, don't look like that," Lung Shui grumbled. "People meant to go to the sea are pretty obvious. They don't cry when they're born, and..." "What?" Drawing in a sharp breath, Iroh let it sigh out with just a shimmer of heat.
"I have a tale to tell you about Chief Arnuk's daughter."
He grimaced.
"It will not be easy hearing."
"Yue." Suddenly, Zuko didn't care about the skeleton.
"Agni, I wish I were anywhere else."
At least he had a legitimate excuse not to listen to the murmurs, shutting his ears to Uncle's recounting of the North Pole as he poked around the scrolls and artifacts the White Lotus had hidden in the lee of a volcano's wrath. "I don't care if this is supposed to be some secret order. It's in my domain, and I want to know just what the heck has been going on here. Avatar Kessick snapped and went on a killing spree? Agni, what else don't we know about the whole mess?" "Professor Wen," Zuko decided, weaving through bookcases to poke into one of the farther corners. "That's who I'll get down here. Uncle likes him, and we can both trust him. And if there is something in here that has to stay secret, he can referee. Heck, he's an earthbender. If he's gotten anywhere near here, he's probably bouncing up and down, waiting to do an excavation." Stained white, rounded and long shapes, brittle as desert wood. Familiar shapes. Zuko stared at the shreds of cloth wrapping dry bones. So many bones. And tried not to swear. "What?" Saluin was moving his way, hand dipping towards her sword. "Don't come over here." Amaya almost stepped towards him anyway. Iroh put a hand on her arm.
"What is it you have found, nephew?"
You said the last time you were here. Zuko backed out of the corner, worked his way back into plain view of the others. Hyorin never left. Lung Shui flinched. Saluan looked ready to commit murder. If she could just figure out whose head to slice off. There wasn't anyone left, and we knew we wouldn't last long enough to send a message, Lung Shui said, barely above a whisper. Nobody does. Not with burned lungs. He shook his head. The vault was going to be buried. Lava, wind-blown ashes, the face stealer. It was going to be forgotten, and we needed it. We needed it so much. Hands almost reached out, dropped limply back to his sides. Funny thing about Yaren coming back. We can feel where we died. In any life, you could probably find the exact spot Kuzan died. All you have to do is follow the pain. Iroh inhaled sharply. Hyorin and his companions left themselves as markers, so a Yaren might be reborn and find what must be restored. His gaze bored into sea green. What is here, Lung Shui? What must we know that has been forgotten? Who Ko is, and why he hates us so much? Lung Shui was backed all the way against Saluan, eyes dark in a way Zuko didn't like at all. The first thing the world needed after life was death. The Face Stealer. He's the Avatar Spirit's child. Zuko thought of that, and Azula, and everything desperate he'd ever done for Ozai's love. We are so screwed. Zuko, Iroh frowned. Allowing Lieutenant Taruko's men to watch over you does not include using such language. Oh, I haven't even gotten started yet, Zuko snarled. Uncle, you... Grandfather loved you. You don't get it. The Face Stealer's the Avatar Spirit's firstborn. And what did the World Spirit do? Abandoned him. For humans. Knuckles clenched white. He breathed slow, denying the need to spark. And then we killed it. Temporarily, Iroh protested, for once pale himself. To protect ourselves and the world's own creatures. Zuko snorted. Anger the only thing keeping him from running, screaming. If someone had killed Ozai while he was still tangled up in trying to get his father's love back, before he'd realized he'd never had it in the first place, I'd have killed them. I'd have done so much worse than killing them. You think the Face Stealer cares? Not a chance. Lung Shui shivered. It really hurts in here. His lost tone snapped Amaya's attention to him. The healer mouthed a vicious word before steering them both towards the vault's entrance. Shock, get him out of here, away from all this earth. Sunlight's good. Spreading his hands, palm up, Zuko tried to catch as much of it as he could. He'd walked among the dead before. It never got easier. A hint of a shadow passed near. He heard Cloth barely whisper as Shirong settled on a warm rock near him. They don't seem to have left ghosts, though I wouldn't swear about that. Kudzate, did they call it? Zuko shuddered. We need to see them buried with honor. I'll ask Lung Shui about that, the agent said thoughtfully. If they're all Yaren, who knows what's appropriate? Good point, but not the first worry on his mind. I want this kept quiet from Hakoda's men, Zuko said abruptly. And the temple. It won't be easy to hide that we have an interest here, Shirong mused. But unless they land, they won't know what. He cleared his throat. Might I ask why? They're not telling us everything. Shirong snorted. You're not that petty. Wanna bet? Right now, he was feeling all kinds of petty. And angry, and confused. But Shirong was right. He had reasons. He just had to sort them out. Think. What's in there is proof that... Right. Taking a deep breath, Zuko tried to put it in logical order. Chief Hakoda found out the hard way that a waterbender can pull on people's hearts. even set people up to kill each other. Aang is a waterbender, and the Avatar. Zuko glanced back at the hole that led to the vault. And in there, our records, Long Shui says, proves a water avatar went insane.
Ah.
Aang is an idiot, Zuko grumbled. He doesn't think, he doesn't listen, he jumps on the first thing that seems like an answer, and counts on his friends to fix things if he's wrong. But he's not crazy.
And you think Chief Hakoda might jump to conclusions?
Shirong said neutrally. I think that if he finds out that over 2,000 years ago, air and fire got together and killed a water tribe avatar, Zuko waved over the ridge towards Dragon's Wings, and up towards the temple, things could get tense. Shirong laughed.
We're living in a volcano, helping to feed people who might still drop bombs on us, and sooner or later the Fire Lord's going to throw troops our way. And you're worried about Chief Hakoda?
He's Sokka's dad, Zuko said practically. Trust me, if anybody could find a way to wreck every plan we're trying to pull off, he could.
And he won't take being lied to worse?
Shirong arched a brow. We're not going to lie, Zuko said firmly. We're just not going to tell them everything.
They burned the bones, then scattered the ashes in the water?
The Earth Shaman leaned into the wind, sweeping the temple courtyard, frowning.
Are you sure?
Wheeling back out to the landing yard to look for some test gear he dropped, Teo stopped and stuck to the shadows. Chief Hakoda had brought Shaman Tao up here, and Dad liked Hakoda. Teo liked him, and not just because he was Sokka's dad. But Tao and the ship he and the other Water Tribe men had brought for Dad to break up for the steel? Well, Auntie Chang Chang said that it was making things a little tense. And it was a funny thing about a lot of grown-ups from outside the temple. They seemed to think if your legs didn't work, your ears didn't either.
They said they found some half-buried remains. They weren't sure anyone else had done the job right, and they wanted to be sure.
The Water Tribe chief looked warily over the edge and down.
If the stories they're telling down there are true, I can't blame them. But it seems a little odd.
Odder than cremation followed by a sea burial?
Tao said dryly.
Respect.
Hakoda thumped a fist into his palm.
You don't see Fire Nation give that to barbarians. You should see the polite request they gave Bato this morning for me. They want the ship's name and honors.
Of course they do.
The weathered shaman thumped his staff on the courtyard flagstones, pacing absently.
You may as well give it to them, Chief Hakoda. One scrap of iron and a few scrolls? I can understand wanting to singe the chin of Fire Lord Ozai's son, but it's not worth the trouble you'd find keeping it from them. They mark a Fire Nation vessel, and the ocean is very angry at the Fire Nation. Better to have that anger turned where it belongs.
A weathered finger snapped out. You there, young man. Either be about your business or come out and join our talk like a man. Busted. Teo wheeled himself out of the wall's shadows, eyeing both of them warily. Chief Hakoda wasn't like anyone from the temple, but he was like Sokka. He was okay. Shaman Tao, though? The tall old earthbender was spooky.
You were eavesdropping on us?
Hakoda frowned, though it didn't look angry.
Why?
Oh, heck. Try the truth. Sokka was okay with that. You're asking my dad to build stuff for you. Teo answered, trying to keep his voice steady. Up in the air, he could fly rings around both of them. Down on stone, with an earthbender. This could go so wrong. The last people who did that were the Fire Nation. Hakoda straightened.
Sokka, Katara, and Aang helped you fight the Fire Nation.
I know. Teo tried not to grip a wheel too obviously, But you didn't see my dad's face when he told us the truth. You didn't have to know he'd been lying to you all this time. He was building weapons for the Fire Nation, and he hated it. He doesn't want to do this anymore.
You can't have tender feelings in the middle of a war, young man, the shaman began. Yes, he can, Hakoda said firmly, looked Teo in the eye, managing to find that spot adults almost never did, where he was looking at the kid in the chair, not down. I'm sorry, if I'd known that before I came here. He sighed. I still would have asked. My tribe is being wiped out, Teo. Katara's the last waterbender we have. My men haven't seen their families in 2 years. We've been fighting the Fire Lord, and we've been losing. Avatar Aang, this plan, is our best chance. If we don't beat Ozai now, there won't be another time.
I know, Teo repeated, throat tight. But what about after? If you win, are you going to leave him alone, or... He couldn't say it. He didn't even want to think it.
Oh, Hakoda glanced aside, startled, shook his head. Spirits, Teo, how long have you been carrying that worry? If we win, we're going home. It's all we've ever wanted.
So, when will we know if you win? Teo asked. Because winning here had seemed simple. Drive the Fire Nation off. Keep control of the air. And for months, it was that simple. As winter got into spring and the larders kept getting emptier, it wasn't simple anymore.
They're offering to trade fish for some of our spices, Auntie Chung Chung had said, and other things later once they get crops in.
The elderly matron had looked over the temple's assembled parents and nodded.
I think we should give them a chance.
Give them a chance, Teo thought now. They're Fire Nation. The Fire Lord's brother, Dad says, and his son. Sure, adults seemed to think that was the Earth King's seal on the treaty map, and the people down there hadn't asked for weapons, yet. But they were who they were. If he was lucky, Sokka and Katara had already showed the temple who the Water Tribe was.
We'll win when the Fire Nation stops fighting, Hakoda said, certain. Just as you did here.
Teo blinked. It was just for a second, but he thought the shaman looked sad. Why?
A fully trained avatar should be enough to make any resistance crumble after the Fire Lord is gone, Tao said. The difficulty, of course, being the fully trained aspect. Have you any idea where we can find a trustworthy firebender to teach the avatar?
Hakoda pointed down. Tao arched an eyebrow, deadpan.
You are joking, of course. They say they're not the enemy. Hakoda's eyes glinted. Let them prove it. We are not going to train the Avatar on an active volcano, Chief Hakoda. Tao's staff tapped stone, emphasizing the words. Particularly not one whose spirit recognizes Ozai's son as overlord. Avatar he may be, but until Aang masters all the elements, he is vulnerable, especially to fire.
The spirit? Teo put in, hoping to head off what looked like the threat of a stare down. You mean the dragon in the cone? The shaman's attention snapped to him.
You saw it?
Everybody in the air saw it, Teo admitted. There were people running around and red armor coming up out of the water. And then she was just there in the mist, and some of the red armor just vanished in flames, like it was never even there. He frowned at the shaman. Longshui and Saluan said, Man, it sounds crazy. They said they were attacked by drowned bodies from the North Pole invasion. That's crazy, right? Sure, Auntie Chung Chung tells us scary stories about the dead who come back to kill people, but those are just stories. Scraping up a smile, he waited. Tao was silent. Teo swallowed dryly. They are just stories, right?
No, the shaman said at last. No, they are not.
He gave the chief a wry shrug.
which is why you should turn over the battle honors to those who've asked for them. I've worked enough protective rituals while I was on board to keep the drowned at bay, but once the mechanist starts plundering the hull, those protections will be less effective. Better to let the face dealer's servants find Prince Zuko's people rather than yours. Hakoda drew in a breath. You said the ocean's rage, not that. And what would you expect the ocean to ally with, when evil must be repaid with evil? Tao said sharply. They meant to destroy not only the Northern Water Tribe, but a great spirit. All the lives and souls of that fleet are forfeit. He winced. Yet, though that may be just, with such power at his command, the face dealer may take the chance to use the drowned against innocents as well, as he is already using the darkness wrought in the North Pole to rouse spirits against all living humans. We must defeat the Fire Lord, and it must be the Avatar who does so. He can bridge the gap between our world and the spirits, bringing the ocean proof his vengeance is complete. Only then will Ko be weakened and restrained from injuring humankind. My children aren't about to let Aang face Ozai alone, Hakoda said pointedly. They should reconsider that. Tao held up a hand before Hakoda could protest. I said they should. I understand what it is to be young and see your friends in danger. It would be better if Aang acted alone. But if the spirits truly object to a young boy having helped to face his mortal enemy, well, I fear they'll find a way to arrange matters to their liking. Tao felt a little queasy. If the spirits really were out there, they wouldn't do that to Aang. He was one of the good guys. They're not going to do that. We are going to help, and we are going to win. So, Tao grinned, are we really going to be making giant fish?